We are coming very close to the conclusion of our liturgical year. Next Sunday we celebrate Christ the King, which is the last Sunday on our liturgical year. And two Sundays from now, we'll be celebrating the first Sunday of Advent, which is the beginning of new year as we begin our preparation for Christmas. Now, the end of a liturgical year, we have as our meditation in our liturgies, the parables and word of Jesus that will help us to see and to meditate in the things, in the lasting things. Sometimes we say the last things, but I would say the lasting. I don't know if I can pronounce that those things right, but the things that we will endure, not things that will be in the end. Sometimes we get so fixed, how is the end going to be? But more important than how it's going to be, because it will not matter actually in the end how it is, but what will endure, what will last beyond that, to eternity. And the parables that we have seen today and the last Sunday also help us in meditating on that. Last Sunday, if you remember, we meditate on the parable of the 10 virgins that were going to meet the bridegroom, and they were carrying lamps. Five of them carried them some provisions, some extra oil, and five did not care. When time came, only the five who had provisions were there when the doors were open. And the others came in late and knocked at the door and said, "Master, Lord, let us in." And they heard from inside what I think very harsh words. They say, "I do not know you. Who are you? I do not know you." Now we've seen today this parable that talks about three servants who receive those talents. Of course, the parable in Jesus' time would refer a talent as well, it used to be a measure or also some amount of valuables, money or silver pieces, usually silver pieces, that would be what would be a talent. Well, whatever it is, now that we understand in a different way, you know, talent being similar or like the gifts that each one of us might have. And then we see that two of them did quite well, but the third one, out of fear, did nothing besides hiding that on the ground. And the words that he hear, "You wicked, lazy servant." Again, I would say harsh words. Harsh words, because when we talk about lasting things, we think about heaven, and hopefully, I hope in your vision of heaven that you place yourself in there one day. You know, I hope you imagine that, you know, going the way. You know, we do not know when we are getting there, but we hope that we are on our way of getting to heaven. I don't think the other option is very pleasant, so that's why we have to, you know, look for that. And then when time comes, how do we imagine that the Master will welcome us? What are the words? It's interesting because this conversation will continue, because on our Christ the King liturgy, we also talk of you know, the last judgment. So next Sunday, this will continue to say, what are the words? You know that we are called, the priests are called quite often to visit hospitals, to visit the sick. And we go and we bring the anointing of the sick that many people ask. That's the name of the sacrament, the anointing of the sick. When we go, we pray and we anoint with holy oil, when possible, usually the forehead and the hands of the person. And many people would see this and would just understand this as the last rites, the last time that that person will have something before he or she will die. Not necessarily. It's the anointing, the sacrament of the sick. So anyone who's sick in a kind of serious illnesses or going to a surgery or anything, he can request to receive the sacraments. Sometimes the family will not call because, you know, I don't know what they think. They might think it's a bad omen to call the priest because, oh, is he dying? He's not dying yet. You know, not necessarily. It's the opposite. It's the sacrament of healing. It's not a sacrament for dying. But there are circumstances that we are called, you know, when they call us for, you know, it's a hospice care, and we know that the person will not have much longer, and the family knows that. Then we give the anointing, and there are some prayers for that situation. And we say the prayer, you know, that in that case will become one of the last prayers that the priest will pray over that person. And it's a beautiful prayer. And you say, how can that be beautiful? Well, it's beautiful because we are going into God's hands. It's not that we are going away from this life to avoid, to emptiness. No, we are going into God's presence. And one part of the prayer will say, may you see your Redeemer face to face. I find that so profound and so beautiful. Because now here we hear parables talking, of course, the master, the time that, you know, the end of times, and when we're going to meet our Creator, our Savior. And he says, may you see your Redeemer face to face. I believe that is one of the definitions of heaven. The opposite, hell, will be just be deprived of seeing our Redeemer face to face. Remember one of the parables that Jesus presented, the poor Lazarus and the rich man. And when they died, they were separated, and the rich man who had everything in this life but didn't care about the poor who was by his door, he didn't go to heaven. He was away. And from far away, he would see Lazarus there in the bosom of Abraham, as the parable says. I mean, with God, with the patriarchs, with the saints in heaven. And he would just see from far away. I think that's the worst that could happen, in the sense of, wow, I'm not there seeing face to face my Redeemer. The Word of God gives us encouragement. But at the same time, it's telling us, when the wicked, lazy servant just took the talent and buried it in the ground because he was afraid he would lose it, he would not do well. Jesus is telling us, we could say, he didn't do any harm to anyone. He didn't do anything that is really bad, per se. He just hid the talent, the treasure that he received. But Jesus is telling us, not doing any harm could not be enough. We need to do something. We need to avoid laziness. Sometimes when we are too comfortable. But I would say we are called. I read something in one article this week that talk about this and caught my attention. We are called to be creative. Knowing that God has given us the talents, now talking about the gifts that we have received, and we are called to transform that, to serve others with those same gifts that we have received. We have to dream. I think Pope Francis is a dreamer. Mother Teresa of Calcutta, she was a dreamer in the sense that she did believe, dreamed in a different world. But while she was dreaming, she was not daydreaming, she was acting. But she could act, she could be beside the poor and help out because she had a dream. Once we kill that dream, I'm afraid, I'm going to hide away, and this, then we also cannot do anything. Pope Francis has called the church today to celebrate the day, the first day of the poor. And we ask, why are we celebrating this? Why is this? Because we still have to dream about a different world. We have to dream about a different family. Sometimes the families are getting broken and, so many issues that see. And then we only see the moment. Oh, now it's like this, and I'm afraid, so I'm going to hide this. I'm going to bury that feeling, bury that moment, and try to put it in the back of my mind, and we don't talk about it, we don't say, let's it be there. As if it did not exist. When that happens, we stop dreaming. We stop dreaming and we stop believing that even in moments of challenge, we can overtake them. But we need to take risk. We need to challenge ourselves. And God's grace will be there, giving us the creativity that we need. Today's liturgy invites each one of us to look into the talents. What am I doing with the talents that God gave me? It's not ours to keep. We have to return one day. What are we going to say? What are we going to present? I believe there's still time for us to be creative and to do something. And whatever we have buried in our lives, to take that out and say, well, let us do good things with this. That's what it was meant for. I don't think God will penalize us, say, oh, I did this, I did good things here, there, I tried, didn't work. I think what God wants to see is that, the kingdom of God that He has given, He says, I want you to be part of that, in building that kingdom. But we can only build it with actions, with good deeds. That we can do with all the talents that we have received. And then God will say, welcome. You have shown that you've done well, that you have taken the responsibility. Because in the end, if there is no accountability for what God has given us, then we account for for nothing, because nothing will matter. May we transform those talents in good deeds, and the doors of that feast, everlasting feast, will be open to us, and we will see our Redeemer face to face.